Hey, this is Dr. Brandon Lee Boatner with Ordinary Radicals, and I'm here with
Jonathan Hayashi.
Great show today, guys.
Hey.
This is
the Ordinary Radical Podcast, right? Hosted by your very own Jonathan Hayashi and co-host
Brandon Boatner.
Dr. Brandy Boatner.
Brandy?
Well, no, it's like Johanna then. That would work, wouldn't it?
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. You're listening, again, the Ordinary Radical Podcast is on discipleship and biblical living, featuring conversation Q&As concerning wide variety of topics. Help you grow as disciples of the local church through leadership, discipleship, and mission. What's going on, dude?
You know, there's a lot going on. Obviously, stuff going on in the world, but I just want to talk about something dumb. Right now, since there's no March Madness proper, no basketball playing, which I'm not a huge NCAA basketball fan, probably because I'm so short and wide, but we're doing a March Madness The Office edition, watching shows, and this is not Jonathan, this is me and some other people, and I'm really excited about this.
Okay, so you were telling me about it, so you're watching The Office, you said?
We watch two episodes a day. Wow. And then we vote on the best.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get down to the best Office episode of all time. So I'm excited, man.
The Office is so awesome. That was the first show my wife and I started watching together as a couple. So, yeah, so many good memories. But the only March Madness I do is Southern Seminary does this book giveaway thing on Twitter. So if you retweet it, then you can get it. So I'm hoping, cross fingers, I'm going to get some awesome, legit theology books. That's what I'm hoping.
That's what you're excited about.
Yeah, that's the only March Madness.
I'm talking about Michael Scott, and you're over there like, I need proper doctrinal theology books. It's fantastic.
Hey, Michael Scott's good. I think he's like next to theology and doctrine. Sorry, that's heresy. No, he's not. Let's not go there.
He's not.
Lightning's going to strike.
That's right.
Hey, so we got a... You got a huge kind of hot topic thing to talk about right here, right?
We really do. And usually, I want you guys to know, usually, how do we do this? We come in, we sit down, and we've already been sort of thinking through some stuff. But sometimes it's a little bit spur of the moment, like, what do you know, topics. Mm-hmm. Jonathan and I, we're both studiers. You know, we want to have beliefs and understand things. Today's just a huge, huge one.
Yeah. And a lot of times we kind of listen in to, you know, listeners, and they're saying, hey, Jonathan, Brandon, could you talk about this topic? So we talk about topics that are hot, but our podcast specifically, again, it's the Ordinary Radicals. So we want it to be on an ordinary lay level, but also doctrinally faithful and gospel driven, Christocentric theology that will help us in a practical manner, and it's not all about pragmatics, but we sow the gospel in scripture through it. So anyway, that being said, we usually just get together, and you know, sometimes people are thinking like, hey, how do you prepare a podcast? We actually just get together, we have a scripture in front of us, a Bible before us, and we just like, hey, let's just talk about it. So really, we don't ever really prepare for it, do we?
No, and sometimes we'll have an idea, like, we're going to talk about this subject, but then we show up, and you're like, what do you want to talk about? And maybe I'll put something out, or you'll put something out, and you're like, oh, yeah, let's do that.
So just so you know, a lot of stuff, we don't put, like, a doctrinal research paper of 180 pages, single space.
No one has time for that.
No one has time for that. So a lot of times we just get together, and these are just kind of scriptures on top of our mind, and we just kind of, bam, dive in, and we talk about it. Just kind of like we talk, like, in office, you know, about scripture issues in church, local church, other stuff, leadership. Yeah. And in fact, that's how the podcast really started, didn't it? Like, we were just hanging out, talking, and we're like, hey, we got to make this a podcast. We got to do this more often because it's edifying for the church.
Absolutely. Now, but I do believe the Holy Spirit is behind this and moves us. So I'm not going to say like we ragtag this thing together or nothing. You know, God really moves. And we've been very touched by people who have chosen to listen and some of the people who have grown from these podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we got a really hot one today, and it looks something like this. I had a lady from my church who sent me an email, and she said, because I lead the worship at my church, and she said, Brandon, you know, I've been learning about other churches, and she just flat out said, should we sing songs from Bethel?
Ooh.
So that's where we're going.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
So again, this is a hot topic. It's huge. It's, I mean, this is kind of like can cause a church split in your church. I mean, but I mean, that's not saying much because I guess a church can split over the carpet, or the color of the carpet too, right? So, but it is a huge topic.
That's right. And I'll even say on this topic that 2 years ago, if you would have asked me, I would have said something different than I do today, because this topic actually just took some time to process and to mm-hmm. think through. So I've been studying this a lot and just thinking through it.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong, but this seems like to me, if you look up on the web or you search it, Google it, it seems like to me it's a pretty black and white issue.
Yeah, most churches make it very much black or white. And I watched a video recently where a man just said, no, you cannot sing any songs from Bethel, any songs from Hillsong. And then there's other people who say, yes, we totally can. And it's just like this sort of black and white, and there's not a lot of gray.
Yeah, or you know, like the other extreme of people I hear, like, oh, you just got to do hymns because hymns are faithful in their theology. So forget about all the newer ones like Bethel, Elevation Worship, Hillsong, because they're of the devil, you know. So let's just forget about them, you know.
You know, in 20 years, whenever we're all singing Christian rap, we're going to look back on these times. No, I'm just joking. Music changes, man. It just changes.
It really does. It really does.
It's a voice of the people. And as people change, it changes. But do we need to talk about why anybody would say don't sing Bethel?
Yeah, I guess like, so why is this even an issue? I mean, maybe some of you are thinking like, who's Bethel? Like, so like,
right.
So maybe some of you have no idea. So let's give a bit of background and context here.
Yeah, so Bethel, and you can include like Hillsong and some other churches. It's not bad to be charismatic. I don't think that's a bad word, but they usually get labeled in that more charismatic side of things. And Bethel especially, there's some stuff you can go. There's some many great podcasts over Bethel, and you'll see them labeled as a cult, and that may be a strong word, but you will see that in the podcasts. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is because of Brian Johnson. Is head pastor Brian Johnson, or is that the worship leader?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's a lead guy.
Okay, so the head guy. He considers himself an apostle of God, and he believes that he receives direct revelation from God that is outside of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, that's dangerous. Why is that dangerous?
Yeah, and just so you know, maybe you are not familiar with denominational lines. When we say charismatic, it comes from the Greek word charis, which means the word that's my daughter's middle name. It means grace. So, and when we say charismatic, they're talking about grace gift, charismatic. And specifically, we believe in grace. We believe in the spiritual gifts. But I think charismatic circles, it's more the side of they believe the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. So maybe you're like, oh, okay, I see. So people speaking in tongues, you can go to the extreme. It's a broad blanket of term, you know, because I kind of seen that growing up. You know, people say you're slain by the Spirit. And mm-hmm. then people fall on their backs and they jerk, and you're like, man, that sounds like cultish. Yeah, that's the reason I think people say they're a cult.
Right, and the leader is Bill Johnson, so I want to make sure I did that right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm used to some Brian Johnson music. So Bill Johnson, so like I said, he believes he's an apostle, and there's just some strong things there. There's one of the doctrines that you'll see within that church that I'm going to speak towards just real quick is just this idea of speaking things into existence. So if you were to speak, almost God has to listen to you and make that happen. Mm-hmm. And recently, one of the things that came up was unfortunately, and this is tragic, this is awful, but a child had died in the church, and they believed that they could keep speaking and speaking, and eventually that child would come back to life. Mm-hmm. And I was so sad to hear that story. The child never came back to life. Mm-hmm. But this is a dangerous belief, right? Because you start to say, if I had enough faith, then I could have healed my mom from her sickness, and she wouldn't have died. Mm-hmm. Or if I had enough faith, then my kids wouldn't have turned out so poorly with their life. And so that's just really dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. So again, like, you know, sometimes people say on the theological realm, the left or the right. So charismatic would be more so, let's say, to the left. And it just, again, where does that lie? you know, just automatically, I don't want you to think I'm a charismatic church and you're turned off because you don't want to listen to it. Not every church is in the same category. It, again, just kind of gives us an idea of it. But some churches, like Bethel, I think they're on a very dangerous place, saying like gift of healing. That's another thing of characteristic of a charismatic church. They believe that they can heal, name, claim, and sometimes even the, let's say, a prosperity gospel-driven church, they will say, you know, if you have enough faith, then God's going to give you prosperity. Jesus just wants comfort in your life, and you could just name it and claim it, kind of theological practice. And that's just such a dangerous thing.
Right. And I also want you to understand how many people are tied to Bethel. You got Brian and Jen Johnson, Jonathan and Melissa Helzer. You got Corey Asbury. You've got Leland. There's Josh Baldwin, Sean, I can't say his last name right, Fucht. And Christine DeMarco. And if you're in the music world, some of these names are clicking in your head. You're like, whoa, I didn't know that. And also one we talked about earlier, Phil Wickham. And other guys are mm-hmm. tied to this group. There's a lot of people tied to Bethel. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons it's so musical is that Bethel has really said, this is the way we're going to reach the world. We're going to reach them through music. And so they've put a lot of money, a lot of time into creating these great, great singers. And they're super talented, mm-hmm. right? So,
yeah. So, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, music, I mean, you know, you and I did it in the podcast one time. Music is an incredible tool. Incredible tool. I mean, just think about, you know, how we use music to inform our children and, you know, let's say cognitive development, you know, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, right? That tune is exactly same as A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Mm-hmm. So we use these tools of music to help our children develop and, you know, it's emotional engaging. So if you think about it, we're not saying music itself is evil. And what their intent is utilizing music to reach those who are far from God, I think that's awesome. That's mm-hmm. awesome. We ought to be utilizing music, but again, utilizing music and to lead in a path that's doctrinally dangerous,
okay.
Speaking into existence of healing and so forth. I just think, yeah. So why is this an issue? Is this even an issue? I think we have to agree. It is an issue.
Yeah, we agree that it is an issue. And like you said, it's because music is a vehicle that carries a message. And doctrine is carried through music. You think of Martin Luther and other people, and some of these guys would write songs that tied to their sermons before they would preach them, right? And so we learn a lot. And you know, here's something I want you to think about on this. If I were to ask you, the last sermon, the very last one. Now, if you're listening to this a Sunday afternoon, you may have already listened Sunday morning online. But if I said the very last sermon, what were like the big three points? Or, you know, most people are going to struggle to do that. But for some reason, God has created us in such a way that if I said, well, tell me a song that's really meant a lot to you, you'd be able to sing an entire chorus, right? So music is a great vehicle for message.
Absolutely. And I think maybe some people are like, doctrine, theology,
right?
Does that even really matter? I mean, can we just put away all that theology and can we just talk about Jesus? Maybe you've heard people saying that, but a lot of our belief and our faith is grounded, believe it or not, in the faith that's been delivered once and for all to all the saints. And just saying that Jesus is fully God, fully man, I'm sorry, you're making a theological statement. So theology, just so you know, does indeed matter. And that reason that we're talking about this topic is because we believe doctrine matters. Theology matters. And that's the reason music implies and informs theology. And that's the reason I think this is an important podcast to cover.
Yeah, but for the direction of what we've been talking about today, I kind of want to toss out a question right now because I think people are going to be listening and going, okay, I know where this is going. And so here's my question. Does your church sing songs from Bethel?
Wow. That's a yes or no question, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So, let me be transparent and we're going to kind of, So you're going to probably tell which direction or this podcast is going to go. I think yes, we do. There's some very, yes, very solid, doctrinally faithful, good songs musically arranged.
And we do as well. And so my point to add that right now, because I think if you were listening to us, you probably thought, oh, they're going this direction. But we're actually not going to go that direction. We're going a different direction. And so although there are pastors that say, you can't sing Hillsong, you can't sing Bethel, you can't sing this, we're going to talk a minute about why we do and why we do allow those songs in the church.
Yeah, and worship should be a hot topic, just so you know. Worship matters because, you know, we say it, doxology, which, you know, doxology should be driven from our theology. I mean, those both go hand in hand because our worship is informed through his word. So let's talk about what role does music or doctrine have in our singing?
Okay. I make sure that every song that I sing is clear and appropriate to the scriptures. The scripture is my authority. I do not sing a song that is outside of that. Now, I do that to this extent. If there's a song that I really like, but it has a word or a phrase that I think is not biblical, I will literally change that phrase. Now, some people listening are going, no, you can't do that. And I'm saying, yes, I can do that. And I do that. And that's our way of singing these songs.
Yeah, somebody was asking me recently, like, Jonathan, what is your preference of your genre or style of music? And my answer was, it needs to be theocentric.
That's good.
More than anthropocentric, which means anthropology is a study of man, right? So kind of not man-centered, theology, theos, which is God. It needs to be God-centered rather than man-centered.
Oh,
I think that's the most important thing.
I thought you meant theocentric was like from Theo from the Cosby Show. It's centered on Theo. No, you meant, okay, I understand now.
Yeah. So for me, it doesn't really matter what genre. I mean, like, depending on your context, your worship ought to change. So I'm just going to say, if you're in an urban setting and let's say you're more highly populated African-American community, is, let's say, 99% in your community is African-American, but your church is like 90% Anglo, and you're just doing a lot of, let's say, Anglo context songs, I think there's something that's not correct. You're not being missional.
True.
You're not translating. And again, I think multi-ethnic church is good. Like, and we kind of covered this in one of the podcasts after, you know, Dr. Boltner did his doctoral dissertation, and we kind of covered and talked on the whole topic. But the same thing with worship. I think our worship ought to reflect the community because we're thinking, we want to be missional, we want to be reaching, we want to translate. Just like if there is a majority of, let's say, Japanese population in community, but you're not learning the language, you're not learning to connect with the people. I think because of the sake of the gospel and the sake of the love of God and love for people, we begin to translate and change, and we put our comforts and our priorities away so that we can advance the gospel, and so we can bring those people, and we can not only bring them, but we go to them. Does it make sense?
So it does.
So for me, genre doesn't really matter. Style doesn't really matter. If we're trying to reach the community of people, and then I think if we're doing hymns or modern, I think all that need to reflect even with our music selection.
Yeah, and people will say in my music selection, sometimes my band will say, you know, this is not a Brandon song. And I'm like, no, this is our church song. This is to meet the needs of our church. So I totally agree with you. And just as a side note, there's a lot of Asian churches that you'll listen to that probably, especially you know, first, second generation, they are singing like hymns and things, because of the error of our missional ways, where we tried to reach people, but we basically tried to make them as American as possible. And so now that's become their tradition. Mm. And so they'll sing hymns and stuff. But yeah.
So can I just talk about just doctrine as well? Some people say hymns or doctrine sound. Not always.
That's true.
So like for the hymn, like turn your eyes upon Jesus. Beautifully arranged. Love it. And just so you know, we do it at our church. But that kind of comes with the idea of escapism, right? Let's escape from the reality of this world and this and that. And if we're kind of informing and just kind of giving the idea of it, I don't think it's right. There's some songs that are very popular in churches. So, for instance, it's an older contemporary Christian music, CCM, Draw Me Close to You. It goes like this. Draw me closer. You never let me go when I fall down again. It's all about me. Rather than like the Psalms, come, let us worship the Lord. His faithfulness reaches to the skies. Bless the Lord, all my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So if you want to be, you know, let's say like we're studying the scripture, it's didactic. And we want to study. If you study the Psalms, it's all about like 90%, I would say. It's like the attribute of God. We're talking about his deity, his nature, who he is, and it's our response to him. But we turn and then we give thanks to God because of who he is. We're not interpreting God based on our circumstance. We're interpreting God based on the scriptural doctrinal truth. So again, like you were saying, like if there's a song that one word is kind of odd, I don't do it. So for instance, you know, some of you are not going to like me anymore.
I still like you. I like you.
I like you too.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's a song, Reckless Love. As our church, we decided not to do that song. Great chord arrangement. Very easy to pick up. The solo, the dynamic, the build-up, musical arrangement, excellent. But the word reckless, I just can't get over that. I think God's love is not reckless, like a reckless driver, like a teenager who would wreck his car. You know, it's messy, but God is a God of order. And just, there's just too many good songs out there today. So I just, we as a church decided we're not going to sing that song.
And we decided not to do it too, but for two other reasons. Nothing to do with reckless. I'm fine with actually that word. What I didn't like about that song is how Corey Asbury sings about all the things that God will do for you. And he'll chop down mountains, and he'll karate kick a tree, and all these different things he'll do. But he doesn't mention the cross, and that just bothers me. He already died on the cross. He doesn't have to chop a mountain down. That one, and here's something as a worship leader that you want to think about too. The song, Reckless Love, was way overplayed. And so it's going to have a short life in the minds of Christians, right? And we just didn't want to be a part of that, overplaying it. And we actually went to a summer camp where my kids, I remember, got so tired of that song because they counted. They heard it 7 times in like 3 days, and they were like, no more. And we don't even do it at our church. So, yeah.
Yeah, so what role does doctrine play? I think it plays a huge role. I think like Martin Luther the Reformer, you know, he says, Almighty Fortress is our God. Wow.
Right.
Incredible song. You know, though Satan buffet, you know, or faith is in him.
Is it buffet or buffet? Because I'm good for a buffet, man.
Oh, man. Hey, I like to buffet my body.
Yeah. But we think about these guys, and I think the point here is if we're going to go doctrinally sound, then we have to know the writer of the song and what their doctrine is. And so people will say, why don't we sing hymns? Well, let me just toss these out. Horatio Stafford, who wrote It Is Well With My Soul, didn't believe in eternal punishment, right? Isaac Watts, author of Joy to the World, did not believe in the Trinity. John Wesley believed people could lose their salvation. And, you know, so you got all these. Now, those are big doctrinal issues. Now, maybe they're not in your church, but they really conflict with my church and our understanding of scripture.
Yep.
So you got to know each person.
Yeah. I think I just want to talk about, you know, we talk about like, you know, Albert Mohler talks about a doctrine of triage. And so we talk about there's every scripture is important, but there's, you know, doctrinal foundational issues. There's disputed doctrines and opinions simply. Mm-hmm. And all those that you just mentioned is what makes Christianity separated from cults.
Yeah.
So like, let's say the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, co-equal nature as one God. I mean that my daughter and I just went through, you know, the New City Catechism this morning. We just talked about who is God.
Your 4-year-old daughter, right?
Yes, my 4-year-old daughter. We go through catechisms and creeds and we study and we're teaching about this.
Is she signed up for the March Madness thing? Is she hoping to get some books also? Just curious.
Hey, we go through systematic theology every day, so it's great. It's awesome. So like, you know, the Trinity is super important, or that substitution atonement. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ on the basis of scripture alone, so we give God the glory alone. What about talk about the hypostatic union oh, Jesus Christ is being fully God, fully man. I mean, the Council of Nicaea and Council of Constantinople, 325 AD, talked about that. I mean, those issues are huge, just the things that you talked about.
Right.
Eschatology of, you know, annihilationism, which you just talked about. I mean, whoa, what is that? Is that who we are?
So if you're going to be black and white on the issue, you have to say we will not do songs, not just by Bethel, not just by Hillsong, but by any person that doctrinally goes against what we believe. You have to be that way. And we're saying that we can't go there. I'll also add, you really can't sing bands that associate with Bethel, because they would also lead people to Bethel. That's one of the big arguments. Like, if you play this music, then people are going to listen and they're going to, you know, learn the theology of Bethel. Okay, well then you can't play Crowder. Crowder's associated. You can't play Chris Tomlin. He's associated. Chris Tomlin's like American boy of music, right? He's like the golden guy, right? So you can't play that. And you go through this. And, you know, if we end up doing that, then you really can't play 90% of music or more. So,
yeah. And just so you know, there's a lot of theologians that we talk about just had kind of major issues. Martin Luther, for instance, he was anti-Semitism.
Right.
Right, he had a huge issue with that.
It ties back to his Catholic bringing up stuff. So there's some stuff tied to that. So
C.S. Lewis,
right?
You know, the Great Divorce. I mean, some of the stuff he talks about, kind of coming from an Anglican background.
I mean,
kind of major issues.
So if you want to be absolutely true and not sing anything that's going to go against doctrine ever, what you have to do is write all your own songs.
Exactly. And is that wise, right? I mean, like, what about the great books we read? Right?
That's true.
I mean, Spurgeon dealt with, you know, Charles Spurgeon and Prince and Preacher, major depression, major issues and some crazy stuff. I mean, does that break us from him? And can we talk about other doctrinal, like John Calvin, you know, the reformer of the tulip, right? Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of saints. That major guy, he too, he had some issues, you know.
I'll even say, as a musician and as an artist writing songs, there's songs that I wrote a long time ago that I can't sing now because my doctrine was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even we're constantly growing. So that's where we're hitting at. And so it's important to pick songs that are doctrinally sound, but the source is less important. And one of the things I want to point out is I always go to this area. You know, we read the Psalms, but David had a lot of sin and a lot of junk in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But God was behind the music. God can still be working through an imperfect tool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, seriously, I mean, what if your worship pastor or music minister, song leader, began to read Psalm 51.
There you go.
And began to pray it. Mm-hmm. People are going to get very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, this is not how we do church. But that's biblical. Can we talk about lamentation? We talked about this one time in the podcast too. So there's a lot of stuff actually we do is really not sound. And that's kind of like the reformer said, Septura Reformanda, Ecclesia Reformanda.
He's talking in tongues. Hold back, guys.
It means we got to continually return, reform. So again, the Protestant Reformation, it wasn't the Protestant revolt. It was reforming back to what Scripture intended originally. The infallible, inerrant, inspired, sufficient Word of God. So again, you know, church continue need to be reformed too and change. And our theologies continue to be changed. And I pray I would continue to be, you know, reading God's Word and letting the Word of God rather than tradition to inform how I do music or how we do church and how we would think through some of these things. I mean, we got to continue to look at Scripture and to let the Spirit of God really transform our affections and our hearts and our minds and our practice and everything. And yeah, so worship too, absolutely.
And so we've kind of walked this, right? We kind of told you why people don't want to sing Bethel, but we've been aiming to why we do sing songs from other churches and organizations. And we've even said, if you're going to be black and white, then you can't sing songs that are associated or artists that are associated, because that could lead people to them. And I want to add this last question to you. You may have some more stuff, but I have a question for you. If Bethel invited you to come lead worship, would you do it?
Wow. That's a good question. I got to probably pray about it.
Right.
You know, because I just know maybe my decision may be a stumbling block
Okay.
for some people. Just like if somebody, you know, I would invite me to Joel Osteen's church to preach.
Okay.
You know, recently Kanye West, or did I say that right, his name?
Kanye.
Kanye yeah, West.
I had to think about what you were talking about.
Yeah,
Kanye.
Sorry, Jesus is Kanye. King. Great CD. You know, I mean,
we can talk about that later.
But I think for him as a new Christian to say some of the stuff, incredible stuff. But he was inviting, he spoke, and that caused a lot of people trouble. But and some people were upset, you know, oh, you're listening to Kanye West song and this and that. And I was like, I think his repentance was genuine, and you know, and I think it was edifying to the body of Christ. But yeah, even that, like if Joel Osteen were to invite me, would I speak? I really got to pray about it. I mean, I'll preach the gospel.
Right.
And I won't hold back and I won't change the gospel or the preaching of the sermon. I'm going to preach a gospel that's of the crucified Christ.
Right.
You know, but again, I got to pray about it, think about it. I don't have an answer, really.
I have an answer. So here's my point on that. Think about the Mormons, Latter-day Saints. They've invited Ravi Zacharias to come speak at Brigham Young, and he does it. He'll go and he will speak. Now Ravi's pretty solid; he's really great. And you think about why. And there's this concept. This concept is simple: that if I am preaching the light of Jesus, and they're in the darkness, people will always see the light, right? The people that are looking will see the light. Mm-hmm. And so if someone invited me to Bethel or another of these places, I would go and I would play and I would do my very best to exalt the name of Jesus. And my point is, at that point, my church couldn't even have me on stage or sing songs that I've written because I then would be associated.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, the thing. For me, this is how I think. Like, it's another doctrinal issue. It's a hot topic. Even if I mention this, you can hear the pen drop. You ready? Arminian versus Calvinism.
That was a pin drop.
Great job. but honestly, like some people, it's like, so Jonathan, and just be honest, I'm more Calvinistic in my theology. And the more I study, I lean towards more that. And then for me, like people are like, well, are you okay with people with that? How are you going to deal with people with Arminian? And the thing is, I think about, you know, again, one of the heroes of my faith is D.L. Moody. That's the reason I went to the school, Moody Bible Institute, founded in 1886. Great school. Most of my theology has been informed by faculties and professors. Just
that's
one
awesome.
Of my greatest times of my years learning and growing was during that time being in Bible college there in the undergrad program. But the reality, he was such a good friend with Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, we know he was a Calvinist. Just so you know, D.L. Moody, he was an Arminian.
That's right. And that's how you say his name, D.L. Moody?
Yeah, Dwight L. Moody.
I thought it was Dole Moody. I thought those were just adjectives to describe him. It's Dull and Moody. Nope, D.L.
But check this out. I mean, D.L. Moody, you know, what we know about Spurgeon, he smoked a pipe or he smoked a cigar.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Moody would say, you know, Mr. Spurgeon, you know what happens every time you bring that cigar to your mouth? And then Spurgeon will look at Moody and says, Moody, you know what happens every time you bring that fork and that meatball to your mouth? Because D.L. Moody was quite a heavy guy. But they joked around. And what was cool was Spurgeon would invite D.L. Moody to his Metropolitan, the Baptist church there. Right. And that was such a controversy. It was a mega church. But yet Spurgeon saw that Moody was doing such a great work. He was a dear brother in Christ. Even though he was an Arminian and Calvinist, which a lot of times churches can't even get along if you know you have a theological issues and they can't even sit together and worship together. I think that's encouraging. What about this? R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur. One is eschatologically, a covenantal view, and the other one's dispensational view. But you think about their relationship they had. Wow, it's encouraging. What does that mean for our churches and our brothers and sisters in Christ getting along together? Yeah. So again, like that, I think it's something worth thinking about for sure. You know, our time is coming up. I'm going to bring it to the last question here.
Do it.
Are we doctrinally sound in our singing? I think that's really the fundamental question.
Yeah. As a worship leader, that's the most important thing. I want each song to be doctrinally sound. And that may mean that it's a very wordy song, but it also could be, you know, we're singing There's Power in the Name of Jesus or something, you know, because there is. And we could sing the same chorus over and over, and that's another topic for us to talk about at some point. But as long as we're singing doctrine faithfully, I believe God is glorified.
Yeah, and so for me, like, again, I just don't want to do songs, you know, let's say, hey, this is like top CCOI, Christian copyright license, you know, top songs. If we do these songs because mega churches are doing, we're going to grow and we're going to become big, and that's what the church is all about. I think that's just a wrong motive, and I think God is grieved by that, honestly. So for me, I don't automatically say, hey, just because it's playing on the radio, let's do it. I don't necessarily think just because it's popular, you should do it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. So just because some other church is doing, somebody's singing or somebody's listening to it, I don't automatically think it. I automatically think it's a doctrinally sound. So one song that was real popular, you know, like a decade or two ago, people still sing it today. It's a song called Above All. You know that song?
Crucified. That song?
Yeah. So yeah. Beautiful song. I love the arrangement. The chord progression is great. But we don't do that song anymore. We used to
like a rose, is that the reason why?
Like a rose trampled on the ground, he thought of me.
He thought he was thinking of me when he died. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. But again, I think God the Father really, yeah, sure, maybe. You know, he was thinking of that, but I think he was thinking about his own glory, his name, his son, that he crushed him under his own wrath, Isaiah 53 said. So
that's
so
good.
So for me, it's like, you know what? The cross is really all about him. And it's sometimes people say, where love and mercy meets, that's the cross. For me, I'm like, you know, if you want to be doctrinally correct, it's actually where love and wrath meet.
Right.
That's the cross.
Yes. So I think what you're saying and what we're saying is this. Look, there's so many good songs out there, worship leaders. If something crosses you in the wrong way, you just don't have to sing it. Right? But feel free to sing things that are doctrinally sound.
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes there needs to be flexibility. There needs to be not just as rigorous. I mean, but theology kind of needs for us to think in every layer that we're thinking every song. So, you know, there's a song we're going to be doing this for Easter. It's called What a Beautiful Name. What a Beautiful Name. Powerful bridge.
Right.
Powerful
bridge. Are you doing just that part? Or are you doing the Agnes Dei version?
Oh, we are doing the Agnes Dei version.
That is good.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Travis Cottrell one.
Yeah. Yes.
We're doing that for Easter. But that song, oh, I love it. But verse 2, I'm so sorry. I do not like that line.
Where God came down. Mm-hmm. We changed that one.
You changed it?
We did.
So how do you guys sing it?
I'm trying to remember now, but it's something like we say, like, you were perfect without us. You're maybe totally perfect in your glory without us, but you still chose to come down. Something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Because it says you didn't want heaven without us, so right. You brought heaven down on earth. Again, like beautifully, poetically put together. I just don't agree with that. God didn't need us. You know, like a Sunday school teacher said, you know, hey, students, you know, children, you see, God was feeling very lonely. So you see, God created you.
Nasty.
So he could feel good about himself. And I'm like, as a little kid, I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds so great. But the reality is this, as A.W. Tozer said, need is not worthy of the Creator. Need is our language.
Nice.
Jesus, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he is full, rich, abundant in glory. And we are the depraved, poor, needy, poverty, broken, wicked sinner. That's
right.
What it is, right? I mean, so for Amen. Me, I'm just like, oh man, he didn't need us, but he created everything on this earth for the glory of his name, for his kingdom.
Come on, preach
it. Cross, for his glory to be displayed, and that's where we play a role.
You're gonna take a tithe and offering after this, aren't you? Preaching it out, brother.
So for me, like, I get passionate about it because I mean, like. I mean, so I just don't like that line, but it's just one line. But the bridge is powerful, powerful, powerful song. And Agnes Dei have that version. Check it out. It's a great, we're going to put it on the show notes. It's a great song, great song.
Yeah, so should we sing Bethel? That's really up to you. We're saying that we do, and this is, and that's, these are the reasons why, and we've already kind of listed those. I think our time is really kind of up by now.
Yeah, so again, thank you for listening to the podcast. If you really enjoyed it, please go ahead and share it on your social media feeds. And if you do, go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. We would very much appreciate it so we can continue on the show.
And if there's ever a topic that you would like us to cover, let us know that, and we might be able to get to it. And sometimes we don't have a hot topic, and we like talking about these issues. It's a lot of fun for us, right?
Yeah, and I think it's edifying, and it's good for the church. And we pray that these podcasts will be available and resource for you and your church, for the glory of God and His name's sake.
All right, so we see you guys. Thanks.
Ciao.